combined with the rest of the recipe. Well, good morning again. Try and switch gears here. I'm out of practice. I'm a little nervous this morning, I'll be honest. I went from 8 years speaking every single Sunday to speaking 8 times a year. So I was talking to Mark Dannett back there this morning. He's like, "Well, you just spoke last week." I'm like, "Yeah, you don't understand. If I don't do it every week in a row, I get out of practice." You guys that way? If you don't do something every week in a row, you get out of practice and you lose the habit. It's very easy to start a habit. It's hard to break that habit. And unfortunately, a lot of our habits are broken that are good, and the bad habits stick with us all the time. I know. If only they made healthy food good. I wouldn't have that problem. That's a horrible word. How many of you like to eat healthy? Is it good? No. My wife is a phenomenal cook. She tried to make me cauliflower mashed potatoes one time. She's like, "Oh, they taste just like mashed potatoes." No, they taste like cauliflower. Disgusting. But anyways, it's a part of our life when we get out of the habit of doing something or we get out of sync with things, it's very hard to get started back up. And for me, it's speaking on a Sunday morning or playing a sports activity. Like, I used to be a huge athlete. Okay, that didn't sound right. I used to be into sports. I was a three-sport athlete all year round, and I was constantly practicing, constantly lifting weights. And I get out of that, now I just moan and groan when I try to do it. But today, I want to look at, I titled it, "The Ingredients of a Spirit-Filled Life." A lot of different things can come out of that title. But let's see where the Lord takes us. This is one of my favorite sections of Scripture. I'm going to kind of preface this with a little bit. Do not use this scripture to tell somebody not to drink. It's not what this is talking about. This is not a good scripture to use for that. And you take away from what it actually really means. So don't do that. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. I'm going to start in verse 18. And by the way, this is all you're going to see today. So if you got your Bible, use your Bible. If you have your phone, you have a Bible. You can use that too. It's an amazing thing. It's great. I don't care what it's in, as long as you have the words. Verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." There are four things that we can get out of just this one verse. The first thing I want to bring our attention to is the word dissipation. That means squandering. So if you read it in that way, it says, "For do not be drunk with wine, for that is squandering, but be filled with the Spirit." If you are drunk, I don't think I want to ask that question. Hold on a second. Let me rephrase it. Most people, when they're drunk, they cannot make wise decisions. Proper, right? Do you agree with that? And you can't be led by the Holy Spirit because you're being led by the drunkenness. This verse, it really irritates me, and yes, it's one of my pet peeves. People will say, "You cannot drink." It says it right there. No, it says, "Don't be drunk." Now, I'm not an advocate of alcohol. I don't do it. I think it's gross, but that's a conviction on somebody else's. But what this is talking about is we have got to be focused on the Holy Spirit. We have got to be pure, clear-minded to be able to be led by the Holy Spirit to be able to do something. And unfortunately, we skip over that. But there are four things to note about this phrase, "be filled with the Spirit." One, it's a command. Do anybody know how many commands there are in the New Testament? Like, we focus on the Ten Commandments. How many, when you were little, memorized the Ten Commandments? Yeah, you memorized the Ten Commandments? So there's 10. How many are in the New Testament? Just take a stab. Come on. All right, I got 600. Somebody else said something up here. What's how many? 300. Anybody else got anything? Because they're way off. Cannon, what do you got? No, I taught you this. You're way off too. There is 1,050 commands. If I had a piece of paper, which I used to, and I lost it in the move. I don't know what happened to it. Number 12 font, if I put all those commands, I could stand here and it would roll out those back doors. That's how many commands are in the New Testament that we are told to do. And we focus on 10. And we don't even do those right. But this is a command. It's not optional. It's not extra that we do on top of our faith if we want to. It's a command to be obeyed. Be filled with the Spirit on a daily basis. It's for all Christians, not just the spiritual elite, which you know what I'm talking about. The people who are on TV and they act like they're holy rollers. I can't stand them. The third one is we cannot fill ourselves with the Spirit. Only God can do that. So how can we be filled and how can it be a command if we can't do it? Have you ever resisted the Holy Spirit? Have you ever felt like, okay, the Lord wants me to do this, but you just don't do it? I could have resisted coming to Vermont. For those of you who's been born and raised in Vermont, always lived here. All right, now, anybody else moved away for a year or two? Okay, you got to experience the world, right? So I was not born and raised in Vermont. I was born where we had technology and civilization. Exactly. Like, what's that? You know, I have talked to so many Vermont people, and I tell them different things that are out there. What? Yes. It's not a bad thing. Trust me, it's not a bad thing. But if I would have resisted the Holy Spirit, I'm like, no, I am not going. I know it's there. I know what I'm going to leave behind. My life would be miserable. It would have been worse off than anything else. So we can't resist the Holy Spirit. We have to cooperate with God so his work can be done in us and be effective. Was there just banging going on back there? That's Judy's new Explorer. She's building stuff. She said she's going to have adult things in there. It's an ongoing thing. It's not just, okay, I'm filled with the Spirit today and now the rest of the time I'm done. It's ongoing. It's every single day. It's day by day. Paul, here in verse 19 through 21, having talked about a Spirit-filled life, continues by spelling out some of the ingredients of a life. We got any bakers here? Jessica, I know you're a baker because we have your baked goods. What if you mix baking soda with baking powder? How's that work out? Instead, one or the other. I'm not saying put them together, one or the other. Like, you put baking soda in instead of baking powder. Well, I don't know how it works, so that's what I'm asking you. One of them makes it... well, rats. But if you mess something up, okay, let's say you put in spicy ketchup instead of regular ketchup. Listen, there is jalapeno ketchup. I have it. It's amazing. It's amazing. We also have bacon ketchup. But listen, it messes things up, okay? So if we don't have a fellowship and the ingredients proper for a Spirit-filled life, then we're off, all right? The very first one is fellowship. I love fellowship. Now, I know there are people in this, well, no, they're not in this room, but they're in this building right now that tell me I don't like talking to people. I wasn't built to talk to people. I would rather be with my animals. Anybody know who I'm talking about yet? I'm not built that way. That's false. We are built to talk to people. That's why God gave us voices. That's why COVID was so hard for me. Anybody else struggle during COVID? Not being able to talk to people? Absolutely. So fellowship, that's one of the ingredients. Worship. What is worship? Anybody want to take a stab at what worship is?
Praising the Lord.
Okay, praising the Lord. What else?
Obey his word.
Okay, obey his word. Apparently we need to do a series on worship. Yeah. you sit on and keep going, did you? Sorry, the act of doing something that honors God. That could be tying our shoe, by the way. Listen, how many of you have a hard time tying your shoes? See, Lindsay, I feel your pain. 20-some years I've had that problem. That's why I have slip-on. Are you rocking the socks and sandals today? Yes. Doing that. Why could that be an act of worship? If you can't reach your shoes to tie them, what could come into your head? Bad things. Bad words could come out of your mouth. Everything we do in life is an act of worship. Thankfulness. Anybody ever met someone that has a critical spirit and all they do is complain? Like, oh, this weather's horrible. I'll be honest. The first time it hits about 82, I'm going to say this weather's horrible. Yeah. But everything in life, they complain about everything. And the S word. In our world today, this word is horrible. You don't even say this word. No. Well, no. Submission. Submission. Our world today does not teach submission. It's a bad thing to do. It's unfortunate. A spirit-filled life includes fellowship. We are to actually speak to one another. Incidentally, we can't just do it on a Sunday morning. Let's read verse 19 through 21. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Where do you do that part at? You speak to one another? Okay.
I speak to God.
Okay, this says speaking to one another in spiritual songs and hymns and songs. Where do you do that? Absolutely. Is this the only place you do it? You can do it other places. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. This is the part that I always rely on because I don't make melody anywhere else besides in my heart. Verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of God, to God, even the Father. See that? Another command there? Always do this. Always give thanks. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, verse 19, we're going to talk, or verse 20, we'll talk about it here a little bit more. But I want you to think about this. When have you asked, why God? Why God am I going through this? I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. So first, the God we say we worship is a God who speaks. And I want you to think about this. For all those of you who say, I don't like to speak to people, or I don't like people talking to me, God spoke and the universe came into being. The first recorded experience of man and woman was that God's speaking to them. It is God's nature to communicate. So if God is a communicator, why would he not create us to communicate? Now, in our day and age, you have no excuse not to communicate. Unless you live in Vermont and you don't have cell service, then you have an excuse. How many of you have cell phones? How many of you have Facebook? For those of you, I know you have Facebook. No, you get on Jessica's. I talk to people overseas. I talk to people in Myanmar, in India, Indiana, Michigan, Oregon, on a daily basis. We do not have an excuse not to communicate. So why don't we communicate with the people that God has given us, the church? The heavens declare the glory of God. He spoke through the prophets, and he has spoken through his Son, Jesus Christ. He speaks through Scripture and through his Spirit, or through his people by the Holy Spirit. Every time I speak, I pray for the Lord to speak through me. I pray that it's his words, not mine. I don't know if that's good or bad. Okay. I've had people say, I wish the Holy Spirit would speak more. How many times in our life do we get on our soapbox or our high horse and we start complaining about something? And we try to communicate that as much as possible. Anybody have a Facebook friend that constantly is putting out their views? Constantly putting out their views? And it's always negative. Nothing is positive whatsoever. Is that friend a believer? Oh, no. I have friends that say they're believers, that they put out their negative opinions all the time. They have that platform, and instead of being thankful and being and fellowshipping and talking to other people, they choose to be negative about it. A spirit-filled life is one that is becoming more and more like God. More and more like God. Less of us, more like God. Are we ever going to be perfect? I was waiting for that one person to raise their hand. In chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitators. It's been so long since I've done this, but have you ever have been with a little kid that plays the repeat game? Some people, do you know? Does somebody in here not know what the repeat game is? Oh, Katie, I'm so teaching Easton. You will hate it. So, like, if you say, which way are you going? Your little kid will go, which way are you going? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why didn't you change your pants? Why didn't you change your pants? Everything you say, they repeat. It's very annoying. But we're told to do that for Christ. We are told to be imitators of him. I want you to look at your own life. If you're a professing believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you do everything you can to imitate him? Everything you do. Like, can anybody pick anything out of your life that says, God would not do that? Absolutely. It would be very easy for them to do it in my life. But that doesn't mean we're perfect. We're supposed to strive for that. We're supposed to strive to be an imitator. If we're going to have meaningful conversation with each other, then we must spend time in each other's company. You can't talk to someone who's not there. I will never forget this. It's been imprinted in my brain forever. When I was pastoring in Michigan, there was a couple that was getting ready to celebrate their 65th wedding anniversary. A long time. 65 years of being married. Do you know what they said? We're not inviting anybody from the church, though, because we see them every Sunday. We want to do other people. That is not what God commands us to do. The people that are sitting in here should be the first people that we call upon. The first people that we ask about. Now, if I need an awesome cake baked, call on Jessica. So my wife doesn't have to do it. If I need help doing something around the house or outside, I got lots of people I'm going to call on. I even found somebody, if I need laundry done, I can call on them. We're a family. Tori and I just got up and spoke a few weeks, months, something like that. I don't know. It was the family that helped us get through all that. When I was in sports, sports was my family. You know, my dad had an affair on my mom. When I was a sophomore, junior in high school, I found out I had a little sister from that. Sports got me through that. My family got me through that. Do you know the difference between the sports family and the church family? Because on the outside, it's the same. It's family. The sports family could care less about your spiritual life. The church family cares about your spiritual life. They care about what's going to happen after death. They care about how you're living in life. My best friends in high school would go out, get drunk and stoned on the weekends, and act like nothing happened on Monday. They didn't care. I didn't go. But that's who my friends were. So there's a difference. When you are a part of a family like Christ wants us to be, part of the church cares about you. The church comes alongside you and picks you up. Say, hey, you know what? I know you're struggling. Let me help you out. The church doesn't, because we're supposed to be thankful, come and say, hey, I can't believe you're a worthless piece of trash. Because that will help happen in the sports world. If we don't practice what we believe, then in the end, we stop believing it. If we don't practice it, and if, well, first of all, do y'all know what you believe? That's a question you got to ask yourself. Do you know what you believe? Now this is just my own opinion and conviction. You guys can have your own. I'm not going to get the shot. It's my conviction. But do I know why I don't want to get the shot? Like for months, I said, I'm not getting the shot. So when I was in Mexico, I asked Tori, like, why aren't we getting the shot? She's like, well, we don't do vaccines. But why? And she's like, you know, that's a good question. So we studied it, and we looked it up. That's why we're not doing vaccines. Because of what's in it. If somebody wants to get it, fine. That's up to them. But if we don't know what we believe and we can't back up what we believe, why do we believe it? Like, there are some people that believe that the New England Patriots are the best team ever. They are not. Well, duh, Miami Dolphins all the way. They're the best, worst team ever. The church is a community that is gathered around the person of Jesus Christ. The first disciples formed a community around Jesus. It was through these early disciples that the church took shape in the homes of believers. People, if we are not with each other throughout the week, we are not a family. It is, I know you guys went through it with Josh being gone and Elizabeth gone. I go through it with Braden being gone. Pastor Scott goes through it with Sarah being gone. Jonah Cliff goes through it with Paul being gone. When you're not with your family and they're far away, you realize how important your family is. Do we realize how important the family of the church is even though we're a few miles away? Do we celebrate each other? Do we get together with each other? Do we put our differences aside that have nothing to do with biblical things and come together? Like, I joke around about the Patriots. You know, I just want a good game. Because I haven't seen that in a long time. Because I'm a Dolphins fan. You just don't happen. Thank you. Fellowship took place in the homes where they met together for prayer, worship, and communion. How many times when we meet at home do we pray together as a church family? Or do we just get together to hang out? The problem with the modern Western church is that we focus too much on the building. This has gotten me in trouble a few times, but oh well. That's why I wear steel-toed. It costs so much money to put up and maintain a building and to justify the existence that we plan most activities here at the building. I mean, we have an investment here. Why would we not use it? But that's not what Christ tells us to do. Christ tells us to go out. Christ tells us to be in homes. Christ tells us to fellowship with others. Let's be honest. Has every single one of you had a good conversation with every single person in this building today? Every single person? Ah, see, I didn't say the ones you know. Every single person. How do you get to know them? By having a conversation. Now, I'm a little more bold, so I'll talk to anyone. I just don't care. Like, introducing myself to Josh as he's sitting there. I don't care. Some people are a little more shy, a little more laid back. So it's going to take a little more time. And I have a news flash. There are different personalities too. And not all personalities get along. I know this. Yep. I'm a very loud person. Tori's a very quiet little mouse. Braden, when I was back home with him, he talked me into mowing with him. He has a mowing business. And I'm like, I don't really want to. I'm on vacation, and I don't want to work. He's like, Dad, we'll be done by noon. And he doesn't start till 8. We'll be done by noon. We only have 8 yards to do piece of cake. I said, okay, because your mom wants to spend time with you as well. We're mowing. It's 2 o'clock. We're on our 11th yard. I'm like, I thought we had 8 and we're going to be done by noon. Well, I picked up a bunch more today and we have 15. We got down to 5. But what I found out that day is him and I are 2 peas in a pod. And I knew we were, but I didn't know it was that bad. It's really bad. Like, I knew what he was thinking and he knew what I was thinking. We didn't even have to talk to each other. But that's what happens when you fellowship with each other. You get to know who you're like. You get to know who you can hang out with. Listen, that's how God has created us. He gave us different personalities for a reason. Let's utilize that. We speak of church as a community, but unless that theory is put into practice, it will have little meaning with us. Little meaning. The second one includes worship. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. You cannot do this if you're not at church. You can't do it. Because it says it right here in Scripture. You sing to people, making melodies, and singing hymns in your heart. Now, sometimes I'm tone deaf. Sometimes I can't carry a key. But I don't care. I'm going to sing it out as loud as I can. Because I know my God is hearing it. Now, Greg is a phenomenal singer. That's why I have him come up here and lead me. And Patrick. So they blend, they make me go away. But where's your heart? Where is your heart? Anybody ever went to work and they're like, I just don't really want to be here today? Yeah. How's your day go? Slow and blah. And everybody's like, what's wrong with you? And every time they ask you that, you get even more mad. Same thing with church. If we don't come to church with a right heart and be excited to be here instead of being like, oh, you know, I really don't want to talk to her today. I hope she's not there. That is the wrong attitude. And for a year I had that attitude when I was in Indiana before I became a believer. And that man that I had that attitude against trained me and taught me almost everything that I have today. Because I had the hard heart. In order for Christian music to be good Christian music, the music itself has to be good. Anybody listen to Christian music like all the time? And we got some people like, no, yeah, my kids, and like, whatever. So I used to listen to heavy metal before I was a believer. There are Christian bands that play heavy metal. Skillet. I love Skillet. Still trying to figure out where the whole Christian thing comes in, though, because maybe I just can't understand the words. Or Family Force 5. Anybody know who they are? They have the song Chainsaw. Yeah, I'm not real sure how that works into God, but they say they're a Christian band. So if it's good music, it's good. I'm not a big Christian rap fan, because do y'all know what Christian rap is? Bingo. The words have to have good theology. And I'm not just talking about the new songs. I'm talking about some of the songs that are in our hymns, hymn books. Some of those songs are not good theology. I don't even know where they came from. But if we don't know our own theology, how do we know if the music's good? There are two requirements in order for music to constitute worship. It must be to the Lord, and it must be with all your heart. All right, listen, you can worship to the Lord if it's a country song, if it's glorifying to him. That one you don't know. Absolutely not. I do it in the shower. Or in the barn. I am excited and grateful that a requirement for worship is not having a good voice and singing in tune. But the reason I put so much emphasis on this, speaking to one another, the one another part. Yes, you can do it outside the church. But let's be honest. How many of you sing going down the road, the street, to someone else? We got two. So where do you normally do that at? In church. You can't do it if you're not at church. All right? God created the church for a reason. Be here. A spirit-filled life includes thankfulness. I love this one. I love thankfulness. How many of you like Christmas? Why do you like Christmas? And don't give me the church answer either. You had what we thought the perfect one get away from us. Man, I look back at the ones that I thought were perfect for me. Woo! Praise the Lord! There's some nut balls. I skated on that. Whew. Man, did I ever skate. Psalms chapter 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thankfulness and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Praise God for the snow. Praise God for the rain. Praise God for the floods. Praise God for the black flies. He's got a reason for them. He's got a reason. Unfortunately, in our day and age, it's so much easier for us to whine than to give thanks. We so easily slip into moaning and groaning. One of the sins of the nation of Israel was that they were always grumbling. They had a critical spirit. Anybody know someone with a critical spirit? The cup is half empty instead of half full. One of those kind of people. We're the same. When the sun shines, it's too hot. When it doesn't shine, it's too cold. When it rains, it's too wet. Story of our lives. But a spirit-filled believer is not one who is always complaining, but one who is full of thanksgiving. It's so easy for us to complain about what we haven't got that we forget what we do have. We forget what we do have. Tori and I constantly are talking about how there's no storage at our house. If you know where I live, I have plenty of storage. I have storage because I have giant barns. Tori does not have storage in the house. I said, honey, we can store it outside. I don't want to go out there and get it. We only use it once a year. I don't know, but I don't want to go out. So we have barns. And then I bring something home. I said, honey, I got plenty of storage. No, you have junk. I'm thankful she's not. No. But that's just how we see things. Always, for everything, has to be taken literally. Can we thank God for absolutely everything, including blatant evil? Do you thank God for what's going on in the world today? I can't stand politics. Cannot stand them. I have no reason for them. My God is way more important than anything else, and my God is a powerful God, so whatever happens, happens. That doesn't mean that I'm not informed, but I'm not going to get all worked up about it. There's a strange notion popularized, his name is Marilyn Crothers, that the secret of Christian freedom and happiness is unconditional praise for everything, including evil. We have to understand that if we are going to be believers and we are free and happy, that we have to have that unconditional praise, no matter what happens. I'm going to give you an instance of someone here, and they may not even look at it. John, he had his foot broke a few months back, okay? Wanted a pretty thing. But look what turned out of John having a broken leg. I have really awesome tumblers to sell. Would he have done that before? I don't know. And that's an outlet. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Giving thanks for everything is not walking around with a big grin on your face when you're suffering, but it's learning to be like Jesus. Look, we don't always have to smile. That's why God gave us emotions. And I got them. And I use them. Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Lord, if it's your will to cure me, let it be your will. If it's not, okay. Lord, if you want me to make a lot of money on this, praise the Lord. But if not, okay, do we go into life with that? Lord, please let her say yes, but if not, okay. Do we go in with that attitude? You never know. God knows way more than we do. This is something that we have to learn because we all go through difficulties and suffering. In John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Amen. The last thing, Ephesians 5:21, the Spirit-filled life includes submission. Oh! Can't do that. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. How many of you have been in an argument before? I don't know how those girls came from you, Jessica. You're so kind and sweet. Wow. Be subject to one another. Now listen, this does not mean that they become a steamroller and they roll over you. It does not mean that you don't stick up for what you believe. Once again, I'm going to go back to my old church as an illustration. We had somebody come in that was pretty dirty. And one of the older saints there basically turned them away. That was about the last straw. That happened just before I said, okay, Lord, send me away. Because I'm pretty sure he knew that if I stayed, my testimony would have been ruined. Are we speaking to one another in a thankful, submissive way? You know what? I don't care if y'all, well, okay. Yes, if you stink, it's going to be hard for me, but I'm still going to talk to you. I'm not going to turn you away. Now, when I say stink, I mean like you rolled around in cow manure. Stink. That's bad. I know this because Aubrey likes that. Whatever. She knows. She doesn't roll around in it. I was just kidding about that part. But do we love each other and submit to one another? There's a debate as to whether or not this verse belongs in the section that we've been looking at or the next one about dealing with husbands and wives, parents, children, slaves, and masters. Grammatically, it belongs to this section in that it is a dependent clause which is linked to the command to be filled with the Spirit. It is another present participle, the same as speaking, singing, and thanking. So here we are, supposed to be submissive. We're supposed to be submissive to our leaders, submissive to those who are around us. That doesn't mean, like I said, you don't become a walking mat or a whatever you guys call it here, doormat. But when it's their opinion against your opinion and it's not biblical, why do you argue? I'm going to go back to the sports analogy thing. I seriously can't stand the Patriots. Never have, never will. But I am not going to get in an argument about it. I could care less. If they win the Super Bowl, I will still sleep well. If they lose it, I'll sleep even better. But we get into so many petty arguments that it doesn't even matter. I know of churches that split over music, churches that split over colors on their wall, churches that split on the color of their carpet. Does it even matter? If this church building burnt down today, the church would still be here. So why do we get so upset and so opinionated on our own opinions if it's not glorifying to Christ? Because we refuse to submit. We have been raised with the win attitude. I will do anything I can to win. I will get in an argument to win. I will argue even if I'm wrong. Because we refuse to submit. We want to promote ourselves and make ourselves look good. I find it interesting that before Paul launches into teaching on submission to wives and husbands, or children to parents and servants to masters, he first says, submit to who? One another. If we can't submit to one another, how are we going to submit to our spouse? And notice the phrase that follows out of reference for Christ. Paul has spent the whole letter so far showing that we are in Christ and that we are in how we live must be governed by this fact. We are to submit to one another, not because the other person is superior, that's a big one, but Jesus teaches us to put others before ourselves. We are to love each other, bear each other's burdens. These are the qualities that marks of being Spirit-filled. I'm going to leave you with this verse, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. I highly recommend you memorize this. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. That doesn't mean if you have love, you're a believer. God is love. Love is not God. We love because we have God. God commands us all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will not know this feeling sitting in solitude by yourself. You have to be encouraged going to church. You have to be encouraged with one another. And I have heard all kinds of excuses why people don't go to church. All kinds. They're hilarious. I could write a book. We need to spend time in private prayer, study, and meditation. But if we want the filling of the Spirit, we have to have meaningful fellowship with other Christians. That's why I'm a big proponent of small groups. Sunday morning is not enough. I'll never forget when a few months back we were at our house in a small group, and everybody was talking. It was like Chatty Cathy time, and Greg was across the room from me, and we kept laughing at each other because Pastor Scott was trying his hardest to start the study, and nobody was listening to him. They were talking. They were chatting. It was great. We were fellowshipping, and we were going to get the Word of God. But Pastor Scott, being a teacher, I looked at him like, it's okay. It's okay. We have got to be more pointed. We have to make sure that we are being spirit-filled in the relationship that we have. Our relationship to God, worshiping Him with thanksgiving, and our relationship to each other, speaking and submitting to one another. We have got to show Christ at everything we do. So, I'm going to challenge you all. If one of you have something against somebody in this room today, stop. Go to them. Ask for forgiveness. Because you've sinned against them in your heart. Ask them for forgiveness. Because I guarantee you, because you're holding that against them, they probably don't even know about it. And it's not bothering them a bit. You cannot be part of a family unless you forgive. Unless you move on, and unless we all become together. And you show up on a Sunday morning so at least see you. So be filled with the Spirit. Have a Spirit-filled life. Trust me, it's really fun. Absolutely blessed. And don't care what anybody else thinks. If you're doing it and it's glorifying God, that's on them if they don't like it. So if you want to go to the mall in Burlington, which I've never been there, and you want to sing praises to God at the top of your lungs and have a good old time, go for it. You might get some funny looks, but you're doing it in your heart. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for today. Lord, I thank you for what you've given us. Lord, it's easy for us to be negative and not want to talk to people. And Lord, not even sing. I see that all the time. But Lord, I pray that we would all submit to one another. And that we would have so much love that we would absolutely hate to see somebody else struggling. And Lord, not to point out their sin, but to help them along the way and move past that sin. Lord, for you have given us this amazing church, this family. And I pray, Lord, that we would swell. And that we'd show the world what you have for us. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand. We're going to sing one more song.